The title this morning is Delight and Desires. Delight and Desires. Going to talk about that a little bit. We're going to begin with Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1, and we're going to begin with verse number 1. Bibles are in front of you if you'd like to use one, and most of the scriptures will be on the screen. Some will not be, but just follow with me. Psalm 1 and verse 1 says this, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in what? The law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. And because of that," verse 3 tells us, "he's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither, and whatever he does prospers." This is the promise of those of us that delight in the Word of God, in the law of the Lord. These things will follow us throughout our lives as we delight in him. So the question this morning is, what do you delight in? What brings delight to you? What brings delight to your soul, to your heart, to your life? One of my devotionals, Daily Wisdom for Men, writes this, "Your delight plays a major part in determining your destiny." Wow. Your delight plays a major part in determining your destiny. So it's really important what we delight in, what we allow our hearts to delight in, because it will determine where we spend eternity, potentially. He continues with this, "If you keep company with those who mock what is good, who indulge their every craving, or who live their lives in opposition to God's goodness, then you'll find yourself far from God and from the blessings of God." He says such company like that is unstable and blows along with the latest winds of desire. That's an interesting statement. So our delights and our desires will go hand in hand. If you're delighting in good things, your desires will be good. If you're following and delighting in bad things, then your desires will be bad. There's no root or depth as life is consumed with the moment for those people, leaving tomorrow hanging in the uncertainty of the wind. The Bible says that in the last days, people will be blown around by every wind of doctrine. They won't adhere to the truth, but will turn over their lives to fables and every wind of doctrine that comes down the pike. But conversely, he writes, if you delight in the teachings of the Lord, as we just read in Psalm 1, and keep them on your mind, you have firm roots that offer stability and the blessings of God. You'll find a secure place to face the highs and the lows of life as they unfold with us and before us. Let's go to a little bit further earlier in the Old Testament to the book of 1 Samuel. Let's go to 1 Samuel. And we're going to be look at chapter number 2 and verse number 1 there just briefly. Remember, we're talking about delight and desires this morning. This chapter is about Hannah's prayer after the Lord had heard her prayer for that son, and she named him Samuel. And so Samuel sounds like the Hebrew for heard of God. And so she's been given this answer to her prayer, and here's her further prayer in chapter 2. Then Hannah prayed, and she said this, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord my horn, her strength, is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance." I love that phrase. In fact, I preached a message on that a few years back about how that we can delight in the deliverance of the Lord. Psalm 1 told us we can delight in the law of the Lord, and now Hannah tells us that we can delight in the Lord's deliverance in our lives. Has God ever set you free from something, broken chains of sin in your life or whatever, turned your life around? We can delight in those deliverances in our lives. And then verse 2, she says, "There is no one holy like the Lord," or "there's no holy one like the Lord. There's no one besides you. There is no rock like our God." Jesus is the rock, the word says, in a weary land, and we run to him and we find shelter and safety. Psalm 35, verse 9 tells us this, "My soul will rejoice in the Lord and delight in his salvation." We delight in his law and we delight in his salvation. We delight in his deliverance. All these things we find our delight in because it's all related to what the Lord has, what the Lord can do in our lives. Psalm 111, verse 2, we find this: great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered. I like that word, pondered. We kind of ruminate in our minds about the Lord, about the works of God. You know, we've talked about all the things, the signs and wonders in a message a few weeks ago, the signs and wonders of the past. And what has happened, you know, to all the signs and wonders? Gideon asked the angel. And so we ponder the works of the Lord in our lives. We ponder what God has done. And then we delight in those works of God. Psalm 112, verse 1, we're told this: blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his commands. So whatever the commandments of the Lord are, we can find delight in those. Why? Because commands are not meant to quench our style or to restrict us. Commands are for our blessing and protection. For every command of God, there's a reason for it, that it will protect us if we obey that command. And so it's so important that we follow the commands of God because they are really there for our protection. Now, Isaiah writes this in chapter 58, just a couple of verses there, 13 and 14. And he writes this: if you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath, that one little word at the beginning, that if word, if you do this, then something else is going to happen later. We'll find it. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath, what? A delight, and the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find your joy in the Lord. And what is the joy of the Lord? It's our strength. Amen. It's our strength. So if we honor that Sabbath, now some, you know, will say, well, you know, you should be, you know, really observing and utilizing the real Sabbath, sundown Friday to sundown Saturday. That's absolutely the real Sabbath. But we, years and years ago, changed that to worship on the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, the resurrection. And so that was changed. But whatever day, Paul says it doesn't matter. Don't let anybody judge you by what you eat or by what day you say is a holy day to you. He says don't. Those are non-essential things. Whatever day that you want to serve the Lord and whatever day that you want to serve him as the Sabbath in your life, mine and Kathy's real Sabbath is on Monday. That's our day off. That's our time that we unplug, you know. But today is most people's Sabbath. That's not what your job would be. But anyway, if we keep that Sabbath, if it's a delight to us, were you delighted to get up and come to church? Or did you just drag yourself in, you know? And so it's how it is inside. How are you feeling about it? What do you think about when you think of the Sabbath? When you think about coming to the house of the Lord, David always talked about the joy that he had in entering his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, to go and worship with the throng as they go up to worship God at the temple. And if that's where you find your delight, then your joy is going to be there as well. You will find your joy in the Lord as you delight yourself in his presence. And then Isaiah goes further in chapter 61, verse 10. He writes this: I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God. Praise the Lord. I love the fact that God has been such a faithful God. I think most of us that have served the Lord for any amount of time, we could echo that Lord, you're just the greatest blessing ever in my life. You turned my life around. You called me out of darkness into your wonderful light and into the kingdom of your Son. And so we have that testimony of our delight in the Lord. And then I just want to share a few comments, brief comments from Chris Tigreen, from his book, Experiencing God's Presence. He writes this: if our relationship with God isn't full of delight, then we have some misconceptions about him. Think about that a minute. If our relationship with God is not full of delight, then we must have some misconceptions about him, because our God should bring great delight to us. Our walk with him should be a delightful walk. We should enjoy his presence. We should enjoy his word. We should enjoy talking with him. Amen. All of these things should bring great delight to our souls. Then he writes, the rewards for delighting in the Lord are appealing, but in many ways, the delight is a reward in itself. I love that. Just the Lord, he's a delight just in and of himself. That's the delight. Amen. And then he says this, he urges us to delight in him because he is worthy of our delight. Our God is worthy for us to delight ourselves in him because of all he's done for us. And then this, we are not just talking about delight this morning, but we're also talking about desire. So the next question is, what do you desire? First question was, what do you delight in? What's your delight? But now, what do you desire? What do you desire from life? What do you desire from the Lord? What are you desiring in prayer from him? Well, Ty Green writes this again. He says, Jesus told his disciples to seek first the kingdom of heaven, and all their other concerns would be taken care of. Matthew 6:33. That's because we were designed to love him above all else, and life doesn't work well if we don't get that right. Sometimes when life is not going maybe as we planned or not going the way that we like it, we need to see, are we putting God first? Is he our first love? Or as Revelation says, you've left your first love. And so we need to come back to a place where Jesus is number one in our lives. And then he goes on and he says this, his purpose, God's purpose, is relationship. That's always been God's purpose for us, is relationship. That's the driving force behind all of creation. From creation till now, God wants relationship with his people. God loves to be longed for, and he delights in those who delight in him. God delights in those that delight in him. I love that as well. And then Asaph writes this in Psalm 73, verse 25. And he asks a question. He says, whom have I in heaven but you, Lord? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. Whom have I in heaven but you, Lord? And this earth has nothing I desire besides you. You're the one that I really desire. Ty Green again adds this. He says, let this verse be a personal statement of desire in your life. You can have meticulously correct doctrinal beliefs. You can have a strong faith. But if a longing for God doesn't drive you, you've missed God's heart. You've missed God's heart. We must have that desire for the Lord, that desire to serve the Lord and to give him our lives. And then David writes this in Psalm 145, just a few verses here, beginning at verse 13. And David writes this. He says, the Lord is faithful to all his promises. Have you found that to be true in your life? God's faithful. God is faithful. But he's also loving towards all he has made. The Lord upholds all those who fall, and he lifts up all who are bowed down. Some of you this morning, you came here with a heavy heart. You came here discouraged. You came here not liking your present circumstances in some way or another, something just not right, and it's got you troubled. But the word says he lifts all those that are bowed down. And in verse 15, the eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand, and you satisfy what? The desires of every living thing. God does that on a daily basis. From the sparrows that he talks about and how we are so much more valuable than any of them, he desires to bless us. He satisfies the desires of every living thing. And then the Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving toward all he has made. He repeats that second phrase. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him, those who reverence him, those who stand in awe of him. He fulfills our desires. He hears their cry and he saves them. What's the cry of your heart this morning? Whatever it is, God knows all about it. In fact, even before you ask, the answer is already on the way, the word says. Ty Green adds this. He says, God promises to satisfy the desires of those who love him, fear him, and those of us that delight in him. God promises to satisfy all of those things. The things that are on our hearts, those things are also on his heart. Certain things become precious to God simply because they're precious to us. Don't you like that? Certain things are precious to God just because they're precious to us. God knows what brings you delight. God knows what you and I desire. And he will kind of take that on for himself, desiring to bless us with those things because they're precious to us. And so they become precious to him. And then when we are filled with him, with God, our desires and his provision begin to line up. The treasures of our hearts and the treasures of his heart begin to overlap, and our desires begin to be fulfilled. Praise God. And then, I love this, he interacts with us at the level of our longings. What are you longing for this morning? What are you really longing for? Because he will interact with us at the level of our longings. Are our longings just about this earth, or are our longings about what heaven may hold for us? Where are we looking at temporal things? Or are we thinking more about eternal things? At the level of our longings, that's where he'll meet us and he'll interact with us. Good desire, the deep and the true longing of the heart, is a God-given attribute designed to lead to fulfillment. When we turn our longings in the right direction, and our desires and our delights in the right direction, God satisfies those things with himself. I love that. God will satisfy all those things, longings, desires, delights. He'll give that to us, and he satisfies all those things just with him. Excuse me, just with him, just himself. And then here's the bottom line as we close from Psalm 37, verse 4. And it's a very familiar verse. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Amen. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. It's just a simple, simple verse, but it's a great conclusion to what we're talking about this morning. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he promises to give you the desires of your heart.